Well, good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to another service here at Unity Center of Light in Bowie, Maryland. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pamela Mosby.
And we look forward to bringing you this service today. And we always want to remind you that we have a Zoom fellowship right after this. So if you have not joined us in the Zoom fellowship, we invite you to do so, where we have great music, time, chance to discuss the lesson if you had questions about it, and just get a chance to see your Unity family. And you can find that information in our e-newsletter or a weekly update that comes out. If you're not on the mailing list, you can go to our website and you can find the link to it. If you're watching this on YouTube, right below, just click on the show more button right below, and you'll be able to find the links that you need. Also, if you find this service to be inspiring and uplifting, we really appreciate your donations so we can continue doing what we're doing here at Unity Center of Light. And again, you can find the various ways of donating, again, by clicking on that Show More button just below this frame. So right now, we're going to get started with Pamela.
Thank you. Well, good morning, Unity family, and welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. And now let's affirm our foundation statement. Together, there is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the Good, Omnipotent. Amen. And now we will have the daily word reading for today, Sunday, August the 21st. The key word is gratitude, and the affirmation is gratitude is my natural state of mind. What joy it is to feel gratitude rising from my heart and filling my mind. Feeling grateful makes me aware of the all-encompassing presence of God, including the divine within me. When I live from my spiritual nature, gratitude becomes the song of my heart. I don't need to wait for a reason to feel grateful. When I live with an attitude of gratitude, I find the good in every situation. The blessing that can come from any adversity and the presence of God in every aspect of my life. Practicing gratitude opens my eyes to the blessings that are present and opens my heart to receive even more. I give thanks for an unlimited world, blissful peace, and perfect wholeness. The scripture reading is taken from Psalm 95:2, and it reads, "Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise." Amen. And now we will have the Sunday message with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, hon. So, we are, on another journey here, reaching, and the title of this is Reaching the Depths of Your Being. And, you know, there's always a discussion, especially among my friends who say, you know, how do you come up with these Sunday lessons every single week? And almost all of it has to do with what I'm observing happening during the week. And, you know, the interactions that I have with others, watching what's going on in the news, watching what's happening in the lives of other people, and then trying to come up with practices and mechanisms that can help us to, you know, negotiate our way through all that's happening in the world today. So Pam and I were on vacation with our lifelong friends, some of you know them, Milton and Sheila, and Milton and I had several conversations about the nature of our individual and collective consciousness as the mechanism that locks us into a very specific belief and viewpoint, okay? And also, we have very specific, behaviors that are based on that. So when we look at the divisive turmoil in this country and in the world, we see collective and individual mindsets that are adamant about what they believe to be true. And not to leave us out of this observation, we each have our own very particular viewpoints that shape our reality. Okay, so while we're busy, you know, maybe condemning somebody else's reality, it's not saying at the same time that our reality also has some flaws in it. And yes, you know, there are times when we are able to blend and coexist within our differing realities. But as we are seeing on a national and a global level, there are times when what we believe to be the true truth just cannot be reconciled with what others believe to be true. And then conflict comes up. So in the surface level of consciousness, our conflicting beliefs about what is really real is causing turbulent waves within the minds of each of us. And I'm using that term specifically because we're going to talk about that throughout this lesson. So the question for each of us to ask ourselves may be, what can I do about that? What can I do about, you know, the turbulent waves that are in my mind that are in conflict with what is going on in other people's minds? Or the greater question for us to ask ourselves maybe is, do I want to do anything about it? You know, this is what I believe. This is how I see things being. You know, I'm right. You're wrong. Okay. And if you watch, we watch ourselves, we get into a lot of that kind of discussion or thinking. So what can I do to get beyond the turbulent waves in my consciousness that cause me to believe that my reality is better than that of those who oppose what I believe reality should be? Okay. Now notice, I'm not saying how can I change the nature of the turbulence in my mind? Because as we see in the disciples, what the disciples demonstrated in Matthew 8, 23 to 27, they were not able to do anything about the turbulent waves that threatened them in that storm that they found themselves on in that boat. Okay, and that's symbolic of the fears that may be causing the turbulent storm within each one of us. But when they brought their fears to Jesus, they found him sleeping, okay? So he was sleeping during the storm that they were being frightened by. Now, metaphysically, sleep is considered the great harmonizer of discordant thoughts and could be very well construed in this scripture as deep meditation. So in this case, then when they came upon Jesus, Jesus was in deep meditation, right? Now, that symbolizes entering into the secret place of the Most High, this idea of being in deep meditation. It's the place deep within us where we consciously commune with the God of our being. And that's what we're going to look at in this lesson. How do I reach that place? So Jesus arose from this place in the depths of his being, and through the darkness of that fearsome night, okay, and into the roaring wind over the storm-lashed sea, Jesus sent forth from within himself the voice of the Lord that rebuked the winds and said unto the sea, peace, be still. So this is the place we're striving to reach in the depths of our own being, the place of peace, which exists far below and undisturbed by the turbulent waves of our conscious mind. Okay. And, you know, while we were on vacation, CNN was seemed to be going nonstop. You know, we had two different places we got, but we would always get together in one place and, you know, talking and interacting. But CNN was always going on. And we found ourselves discussing what seemed to us to be the stupidity and unreasonableness and unrealistic thinking and beliefs of certain groups and individuals and the circumstances created by them. You get what I'm saying, right? Watching CNN and we're going on and on about, you know, what is wrong with these folks. But what we were not realizing was that what we were espousing was also not the truth, but rather it was our truth based on our perception. It was a storm, you know, creating the waves in our consciousness. And no one could convince us differently. If you think about what I'm saying, you know, you find yourself, oh, this is the way it should be. This is the way the world should be, the way people should be. But that's our truth, okay? And I use as an example of how we, like the disciples, all have a storm of one kind or another creating turbulent waves in our minds that we often cannot calm. But as the title of this lesson expresses, there's a greater depth within us, okay, that is totally unaffected by the turbulent waves in our conscious minds. So how do we reach that depth? And it's by the practice of some form of meditation, entering into the stillness, where we strive to move into the depths of our own being, where the calm waters of tranquility exist. Okay? And we talk about that a lot, but we're going to get into some more specifics. So in the scripture, it is called the, in scripture is this idea that we're trying to get to, the depths of our own being. In Matthew 6:6, it's called the inner chamber. Okay, for those note takers, Matthew 6:6, it's called the inner chamber. In Psalm 91, it's the secret place of the Most High. In Hebrews 9:3, it's the holy of the holies, okay? And Jesus, you know, called it the Father within in John 14:11. So it's a place within the depths of our being that we're striving to learn how to reach, okay? Now, a lot of this talk came out of the book, Strength in Stillness, by Bob Roth. Now, this is how, what he says. He says, when I talk about meditation, and he's a great meditation teacher, okay, very well-known meditation teacher. So he says, when I talk about meditation, I tell my students, imagine you're in a little boat in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, and for as far as you can see, there's an expanse of blue. But all of a sudden, the waves begin to get choppy, and you find yourself surrounded by huge 30-foot waves. Now, you could easily think the whole ocean is in upheaval. But he says, the whole ocean? Not really. Because if you could look at a cross-section downward, you would see that only the surface of the ocean is in turmoil. So the Atlantic Ocean, for example, is several miles deep. I looked it up, and it was like 5.7 miles deep. So at its depth, the ocean is very, very calm. Down there, there is an unbounded expanse of peace and tranquility entirely undisturbed by the turbulence above. So like the waves on the surface of the ocean, the surface of the mind can be active, even noisy and turbulent, but not at its depth. Okay? And that's what we're working on in this lesson. So in the scripture where Jesus was said to be asleep despite the raging storm, the revealing word explains that sleep is the great harmonizer of discordant thoughts, okay? Now those who go into the deep silence produce a state of consciousness comparable to sleep. Now all of the outer thoughts are stilled, okay, allowing the soul to listen to the still small voice within. So let me say that again, because this is important as to why do I want to reach the depths of my own being, okay? While the outer thoughts are, you know, going crazy, these lower aspects of our being, okay, these inner aspects of our being, I should say, those thoughts are calmed, and I like this, allows a soul to listen to the still small voice within, all right? So while the disciples were caught up in their conscious level of mind, that made them susceptible to fear, Jesus was at the depths of his being where he was open and receptive to the Spirit of the Lord moving through him to rebuke the storm and calm the turbulent waves. Okay? So the logical question we might ask is, how do I reach the calm in the depths of my being? How do I reach the calm in the depths of my being? Well, following in the footsteps of Jesus and other great masters throughout history, let's explore the effects of meditation. Now, we talk a lot about using prayer meditation to enter into the stillness. So we're going to get a little bit more into how that process, that practice can help us. Now, meditation has become increasingly popular as a topic of scientific research and theories on meditation are becoming more specific, okay? Because scientists are beginning to understand that there is an actual impact on the brain and the body from the practice of meditation. So in this lesson, we're going to explore three different meditation techniques that I got from the book of Bob Roth, okay? His book, Strength in Silence. But they're not specific to Bob Roth. In other words, he actually got these from others. Because if you look up these techniques I'm going to talk about, there is a lot of research and information on these three different ideas, okay, three different meditation techniques. So the first one is called focused attention. Focused attention. This is the first form of meditation we're going to talk about. This is where thoughts are seen as disruptors. So you try to minimize or get rid of the thoughts so that you can, you know, enter into a state of deep inner peace. But if any of you have ever tried to do this, you know, I bet you everybody here who's listening has tried to sit in meditation and stop that monkey mind from going crazy with all these ideas. While you're trying to be peaceful, you know it is not easy. But, you know, but... And what happens to us, it's like so frustrating, okay, that some of us just say, I can't do this, all right? forget it, right. So Bob Roth explains, and we're going to go back to this ocean analogy. He says, trying to clear your mind of thoughts is like trying to stop every wave on the surface of the ocean. So even though this is an effective meditation technique, okay, that works for a lot of people, this practice, again, has caused many of us to just give up, saying meditation just isn't for me, okay? But a scripture that may help with this form of meditation is found in Matthew 6:6. It says, but when you pray, go into your room and close the door. And in other words, close the door and all that outside stuff that's going on. And pray to your Father who is unseen. And then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Okay? In other words, the fact that you are making the effort to be still, the God of your being sees that, okay, and rewards you with the stillness that you're seeking. Okay? The reward, and as the scripture says, the reward being a state of inner peace that comes from letting go of the stresses of your life. Now, not that they will be gone forever, but at least in your time of prayer meditation, you will experience a moment of peace. Okay? And I know, again, I bet you every one of you listening who have tried that, you try to clear your mind of all the craziness going on in your mind, I bet you have had a moment of peace, a glimpse of what it was like, okay? At least long enough to receive some divine guidance, some peace, some clarity. Okay? Now, the second meditation technique is called open monitoring, okay, open monitoring. And this is about learning how to observe your thoughts without any passion, attachment to them, or any emotional judgment, okay? You're just seeing them, but you're not, you know, getting attached to them emotionally. It's not about trying to get rid of them, okay? The first one was trying to get rid of them. This is not about trying to get rid of them, okay? This is just letting them be while you remain calm, unattached and unaffected by the thoughts going through your mind. Okay? So the first one, you're trying to get rid of the thoughts. This one, you're not trying to get rid of anything. You're just observing them without any attachment. Now, back to Bob Roth's ocean analogy. It's like you're in a little boat, and instead of trying to stop the waves, you're just observing them as they rise and fall. You have no fear or emotional attachment to what's happening. Okay? He explains that open monitoring can help you become more present and centered during stressful experiences. In other words, the experience is going through your mind, but you're not emotionally attached to it. It can help you to calm the area of your brain, okay, this is a scientific aspect of it, that governs emotions and emotional behaviors, so that you don't overreact emotionally to challenging situations. It helps you to become able to take a few minutes, breathe deeply. Conduct a scan of how you're reacting. Take time to calm yourself. And then re-enter the challenging situation, you know, that was causing this, but in a calmer state of mind where you remain open and receptive to listening for and hearing divine guidance. You know, and I could see how that would work, all right? So Roth says for many, it's a useful and practical coping tool. Okay. And you hear it, you see this a lot, you know, you hear people take a deep breath, you know, breathe deeply, just take a breath. Okay, so it's sort of that idea. Now, scripture that might help support this technique is Psalm 1, 1 through 3. Okay? It says, blessed are the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on God's law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Okay. Now, the words wicked, sinner, mocker are not referring to people, but rather they are referring, those words are referring to the thoughts that come up in our minds like waves in the ocean trying to disrupt our inner peace. And I think we all know what this feels like. So the scripture is explaining that when we delight in the law of the Lord within us, the Spirit of the Lord within us, to the exclusion of the things that try to disrupt our inner peace, we gain the ability to tap into the quiet, peaceful depths of our being. And this comes from daily meditative practice. Okay. Now, the third meditation technique, again, it's in the Bob Roth's book, Strength in the Silence, Stillness, rather. But remember, this is not just his, he didn't come up with this. This is these are meditation techniques that have gone through a lot of different study and a lot of practice. And they're masters in each one of these. Okay, they are masters in each one of these techniques. So this one, this third one is called Automatic Self-Transcending. Okay, so transcendental meditation, which Bob Law is a master of teaching, falls into this category. So to explain this meditation technique, let's go back to Bob Roth's ocean analogy, okay? Now, he says, there are active, often turbulent waves in the surface, but there is calm at its depth. In the same way, we hypothesize that while the mind is active on the surface, deep within is a level that is calm, yet alert, still, yet wide awake. Oh, thank you. Silent yet wide awake. Now, the ancient meditation texts refer to this as the source of thought or pure consciousness, a feel of limitless creativity, intelligence, and energy within. Okay? So scientists give it a more clinical description, a state of restful alertness. It is there, deep within us, right now and at all times, whether we believe it or not, whether we are aware of it or not. And that's the problem. We have lost access to it. Okay? So, the purpose of the practice of transcendental meditation is to help us to rediscover and gain access to the secret place of the Most High. This explanation of how TM works is taken again from Bob Roth's book, Strength in the Stillness. And it says, in this meditation practice, there is no concentration or control of the mind. Let me say that again. In this practice, there's no concentration or control of the mind. There's nothing guided, no suggestion or passive observation. Instead, TM simply allows the active thinking mind to settle down to its own state of inner stillness at the deepest level of awareness, one that actually transcends or goes beyond all thoughts and feelings. Okay? Now to continue, he says, it is your own quiet inner self. Before you start thinking and creating and planning and making lists and deciding and worrying and celebrating, all right, it has always been there within you. It just gets lost or overshadowed easily by the constant noise and distraction of the day, okay? So in the context of the ocean analogy, we don't try to control these turbulent waves on the surface, and we don't watch them dispassionately either, okay? We simply access the calm at the ocean's depths. It's like a sprinter, I love this, like a sprinter who decelerates from a fast run to a slow jog, to a leisurely walk, to standing still, to sitting down. Same person, just different degrees of activity. Easy. I gave you that whole explanation because it's a fantastic way of thinking about this process, okay? And it sounds very much like the expression we use all the time, just let go and let God, okay? And a scripture that we're all familiar with that speaks to this inner calm is in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, okay? And we know this. Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Okay? And many of the teachings of Jesus have the sense of peace, love, compassion, forgiveness. Okay? We enter into these states of mind by turning our attention to them. But the question we each must ask ourselves is, what is it that I really want? Okay. Without realizing it, our tendency may be to try to pray or meditate while holding on to the emotional stuff in our mind that is blocking us from entering into the calm, peaceful place within us. Okay. But the Master explains that if you come to me, right, meaning to the way I am showing you, the way I am thinking, the way I'm being, even though you are feeling weary and burdened, I will give you rest. Okay? So God is always available and accessible to each of us, never withholding anything from us, never blocking us from the peaceful place within us. It is we who must make the choice to leave our busyness at the door, as the scripture says, to close the door and pray. And yes, I agree that with our busy lives, there is so much in our minds that keeps us distracted. But as we read in Ecclesiastes 3:1, for everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. So am I taking the time daily to re-energize and refocus, okay? Am I taking the season daily to re-energize and refocus by embracing the healing strength that is found in the stillness, okay? It is written in the Revealing Word, to keep the sayings of Jesus is to take the spiritual principle that he enunciated and square our own life by them. That is, use them as a working basis for all that we do in our lives. Now, if you prefer, you can use the name Jesus or replace the name Jesus. You can use the name Jesus as a synonym or a symbol of the way to reach the inner depth of your being. If for some reason you want to use a different name or word, because remember, name means nature, so when we use the word Jesus, we're talking about the nature that Jesus demonstrated. But if you feel you want to use some other synonym or a symbol for the way to reach your inner depths, okay, please do. Or a way to get through the veil that seems to be keeping us from gaining access to the inner depths of our being. Okay, we know about the veil in the temple was torn from top to bottom when Jesus said, into thy hands I commit my spirit, my soul, my body. Okay. So if we look at that veil, I'm not sure where I got this from, but it says the veil of the temple or curtain, as it is referred to in Scripture, is that within us that keeps us from seeing through the barrier that seems to keep our mind separated from God's mind. It is what hinders us from standing in the unlimited potential that God is, as opposed to the limited reality of the spiritual, of the physical realm. The veil is a great divide between that which is linear and that which is quantum, okay? Or, if that didn't make sense, the last part, more familiar note, is the division between that which is of our intellect and that which is of our inner spirit, okay? So, one way or another, we need a guide to help us get through the veil, all right? We need a way shower. You need to decide who that way shower is for you. Choose the one that works best for you. and choose the form of meditation that works best for you. You know, the overall spiritual objective is to choose a way to reach the inner depths of your being that works for you. That's what we're looking to do. Okay. There is no one way. There are many ways. And I think I told you the story about years ago when I was down at Unity Village and I was a long distance runner. I was running crazy miles every day. And I went to the instructor, Ed Rabel, and I said to him, you know, I can run, you know, 10 miles a day, no problem, but sitting and meditating is just not for me. He says, meditate while you're running. Okay. So, you know, figure out the mechanism that works best for you. And from the article in Science of Mind magazine yesterday, Saturday, August 20th, it says, everything you seek is there if you're clear on what you're looking for. When you have a clear mental picture of what you want, it awaits your discovery. This truism pertains not only to physical items, but also to mental clarity and spiritual ideas. Once you clarify in your mind what you want, the universe brings it forward into your awareness and experience. And if you do not know what you are trying to achieve, you will never achieve it. Okay? And I might as well go right into the affirmation for this week. Go ahead, sweetie. Okay, this is the affirmation for the week. I have a clear picture of what I am seeking. Therefore, I see it everywhere. And so it is. Amen. And now we're going to have meditation with Pamela.
And today, beloved, we are going to do a gratitude meditation. So as you take this time out of your day to meditate, you begin by taking a deep cleansing breath in, then releasing any tension, stress, or worry as you exhale. Take time now to reflect on the gifts of your life, all the blessings you have received. As you focus on your heart, you feel an overwhelming appreciation for all the love in your life. Gratitude wells up within you. Gratitude for your body and how it serves you. Gratitude for your family and friends and the joy they bring in your life. You remember the beauty of nature all around you and express gratitude for the beautiful blue sky, the soft billowing clouds, the soft rain that helps the vegetation grow, and the sun that warms our planet. You are grateful for life itself. What a gift we have been given. Let's take the next few moments to be in the presence of pure spirit and allow your cup of life to be filled to overflowing. Use this time to pray, receive answers to your prayers, and to remain still and know. And now place your focus once again on your breath, breathing in and breathing out. by appreciating each breath you feel uplifted by the very act of breathing, something that is natural to our bodies and is a beautiful act of love from life itself. So feel the joy of gratitude as you move into your day ever so gently. Look for the good and recognize all the amazing people and things in your life to truly and deeply appreciate. In the name of our elder brother and way-shower, Jesus the Christ, we do give thanks, and so it is and forever shall be. Amen. When you are ready, come back to your surroundings.
Wonderful. So this is the time that we ask you to open up your hearts and minds, even we open our hearts and minds, and think about the prosperity that flows into our lives and allowing some of that to flow into your spiritual home. We ask you to hold your offering blessing in your hand, in your mind, in your spirit as we say our offering blessing together.
We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light.
Amen. And we thank you for all of your donations. And right now we're going to have light notes with Pamela.
We have a few light notes for today. Backpacks and school supplies. Now, the Bowie Food Pantry is not able to carry this out for us due to shortage of resources and people. So the Unity Center of Light would like to continue to do this. So we would like to support it in any way we can. So between now and August 29th, you may email Patty and let her know when you will bring the supplies to the Ken Hill Center. Our next in-person hybrid service will be Sunday, September the 4th. We look forward to seeing you in the sanctuary. Please remember to register for the service on the church website. If you have already submitted proof of vaccination, you don't have to do that again. The next book club discussion will be Sunday, September the 11th from 1 to 3 p.m. The book discussion will be on Anita Morjani's book called Dying to Be Me. The Zoom link will be available soon. And on September 11th, Sunday, our guest speaker is Michelle Sinegal. That concludes our announcements for today.
All right. So now it is time
to bless the path that we each will walk this week. We're going to say our affirmation with passion, zeal, and gusto. Together.
I go forward in the spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous, and I am grateful.
And Amen.
Also, yeah, now our prayer for protection together.
The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine, and all is well. And that's the truth.
All right. So it's been our pleasure to bring you this service today, and we look forward to seeing
them in Zoom.
Yeah, please. Yes. Tell them about Zoom again.
Zoom, the place where you can see your Unity family and friends, and where you can ask questions, greet each other. It's a fellowship time, and it's really important for us to do that because we're only in person one Sunday a month. So we hope to see you in the Zoom session.
All right. Okay, so otherwise, have a wonderful week. It's going to get hot next week, so stay cool.
Yes. All right. See you later.
We'll see you soon.
Okay, bye-bye.